Greetings, educators, and welcome to the season premiere of The Teacher's Lounge, a podcast internet radio show for educators designed by an educator, and my name is Brian. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here in the U.S., we are wrapping up our summer vacation and getting ready for the new school year, and I know many of you may be thinking, oh man, it's such a difficult transition to go from summer mode to school mode, and you know, I don't really know if I can handle all the parents and the administrators and all the meetings, and gosh, why can't summer last too much longer? But are you approaching the start of school with maybe a healthier mindset, and that is a mindset of gratitude? Mr. Owen Griffith is going to be helping us with that gratitude mindset. He has done a program with us about 2 years ago, and he is back with some new information and new ways to help us start our year off right. And he also has a new book that we're going to be talking about as well. It's going to be a great way to start our new season. I'm excited. So let's get started with Owen Griffith right here on the new season of The Teacher's Lounge. Stay tuned. All right, and joining us back in the lounge, returning guest, Mr. Owen Griffith, who's a teacher, a blog writer, and now published book author. Congratulations on that. Titled Gratitude, A Way of Teaching, which can be found on Amazon, and we're going to include the link on the show notes. And we're going to get into the book, but I wanted to first welcome Mr. Griffith back. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be back here. Thanks for inviting me.
It's been a productive and positive 2 years for you, it seems like, hasn't it?
It has. A lot of growth, a lot of chance to interact with other educators and learn from them and grow a little bit.
Well, for those of you who haven't heard Owen's interview, I will include that, the episode, on the show links as well. But let's recap a little bit for those who might have forgotten or haven't heard you before, Owen. You're really big into preaching gratitude.
Right.
You know, some people might think gratitude's nothing more than just a nice feeling, and maybe teachers think, you know, it's not really that effective. So how would you, Owen Griffith, define gratitude?
Yeah, that's a great question, a good place to start. You know, gratitude, it's much more than a pleasant emotion. I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. They think gratitude is just the way I feel, it's going to come and go, but gratitude is really a way of looking at the world. It's a way of interacting with people, and, you know, it's finding the good in ourselves and others, and as teachers, finding the good in our classroom, in our students, in our colleagues, and the parents. And it's something that has really helped me in my life, and it's truly helped me as a teacher.
So what's the difference between gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, and, say, just positive thinking?
Well, positive thinking is just trying to be upbeat, put a smile on, and unfortunately, sometimes when people do the positive thinking, I've noticed, it doesn't come off as authentic, and so they don't do it so often, or they kind of burn out on it quickly. But the great thing about gratitude is I've learned there are these activities you can do, and you can practice these, and you can find out what works for you, what works for your students, your family, and as you practice these gratitude activities, whether it's a gratitude list, or writing a gratitude letter, or doing gratitude art, or a gratitude Facebook page, as you do this, it really changes the way you think. It changes the way you act, and it can change your classroom or your family.
Yeah, I want to get into those changes in a little bit, but Owen, you seem so pumped up about gratitude and its impact on your life. Why do you suppose that it's hard to embrace gratitude for some?
Yeah, that's another great question. I have a whole chapter in the book on the gratitude resistors. You know, there are people, I know some of the people I work with, and people just say, it just sounds too good. And I think as educators, we've all heard too many magic bullets, things people propose that are going to just be a cure-all. And so I think we're a little leery of things like that. And gratitude, it has been kind of in the spotlight. Oprah's done her bit on it. And so it almost seems too good to be true. People think, oh, this can't be, you know, as good as they say it is. And, you know, the research has really caught up to these last 10 years when I've been using gratitude in the classroom. It's nice that some of the top professors around the country have been studying gratitude. And now we have the empirical evidence that shows that it does help students with their academic achievement, academic goals, less discipline problems, and just be more connected to the school and to life.
So it's more than just an attitude. It's a way of looking at the world. What is some of that research that you found that is mentioned in the book that it's not just some positive feeling, but what scientific research did you find that gives you the hard evidence that, yeah, an attitude of gratitude really makes a difference not only in your life, but also teachers in the classroom?
Yeah, Dr. Froh and Dr. Bono wrote a book called Making Kids Grateful, and I love that book because he talks about not just for educators, but for anyone how to do that. And Dr. Froh wrote the introduction to my book. He wrote the foreword, and I went to a conference with Dr. Bono, so I spent a lot of time with these guys, and I asked them. They actually went into some schools, and they did where they had one group of students who kept a gratitude journal, who wrote things that they were grateful for. And they made them delve a little deeper. Instead of just saying, I'm grateful for having a family, they would say, I'm grateful for having a family because they bring me to school, because they love me, because they supply me with stuff. So they had one group doing the gratitude journal and going a little deeper. Then they had the control group who didn't do anything. And then they had a group that actually wrote down complaints, things that they were feeling bad about or feeling negatively about. And when they did the pretest and the post-test, they found that those students who did the gratitude journal, you know, up 10 to 15% better academically achieving. Discipline problems went down. Those students reported that they felt more connected to their classmates. It was a real social thing. And, you know, the classroom culture had changed. The control group, as you can imagine, stayed about the same. And then the complaint group, you know, went down. Their achievement, their problems went up. And, you know, I think sometimes in life we can see that with some of our colleagues. You know, the people who try to impact things positively, you know, have a better rapport, and those people who are just the complainers are the ones who just attract the negative.
Do you see that in your own life?
I do. I see that with some of my students and some of my colleagues. And the nice thing is that a lot of them, when they get to know me, those students at the beginning of the year, as they see gratitude really working, they really turn around and they see that it does work, and it's more than just something that, you know, sounds good or just works for me. It's something that can apply to everyone. In fact, you know, back to that research, they found that the people who have the hardest time with gratitude at the beginning are the ones who make the most progress with it, which is good news for those of us who still might struggle with it, who might be resistant to it.
If there's so many benefits to being grateful, Owen, then why isn't our society embracing it more? Why do we see all this bad news and dirty politics and stuff like that?
Well, you know, I have another chapter about, you know, challenging the culture, the complaining culture. And I think bad news still sells. People still want to, you know, there's something about looking at that, and then they can compare themselves and say, oh, my life's not so bad. And people don't even realize a lot of times, like I'll walk into the teacher's lounge, and they'll almost be having a contest, like one, they'll be talking about one student, how bad the other person will feed off that and say, well, you think that student's bad? Look at this. So I think people have established some negative habits, and it just seems like too much work to start something new, start gratitude. A lot of people never give it a chance. Or if they do, they don't stick with it long enough.
Is part of it just because it requires more work?
I think that's true. And, you know, I went to this gratitude conference at the Greater Good Science Center up at UC Berkeley. And the John Templeton Foundation has given $10 million. Because they believe in gratitude in education so much. And the whole emphasis there was, how can we make this applicable in the classroom and not be an extra activity? Because no teacher has another half an hour a week to devote to this. So some of the real encouraging things they were figuring out with the curriculum is they were saying, how can we make writing gratitude letters part of an English lesson? Or how can we make researching historical leaders, you know, how were they grateful that helped them make their achievements? So I see a lot of the way it's being applied now, done in a way that isn't going to be just another task for educators, or it's not going to be something even if parents want to try it. A lot of parents are reading this book who aren't teachers and saying that they're enjoying some of the activities that just kind of go with the family. It's not something else that you have to do, because nobody has extra time these days, do we?
Indeed, indeed. And I think society just sees it as a Thanksgiving thing. You know, it's
right.
Nice to do during Thanksgiving, but, you know, let's real life, his face real life for the rest of the year. But there just seems to be so much evidence that supports a better life through a gratitude attitude, life principle. So with that being said, Owen, are you this gratitude master? Is showing gratitude something that's always been easy for you and just the way you grew up? Were you that child who was always the glass is half full and saying thank you and being so grateful growing up?
No, actually, I had a wonderful family and they're very supportive. But, you know, I wasn't always a grateful person. In fact, looking back, I can see I was kind of cynical. And, you know, about 15 years ago, I was working this kind of long job in customer service. And by the end of the day, I wouldn't have much energy. And there was a lady I worked with, and she just seemed to always be happy. So I figured she didn't have any problems in life. And then one day we were talking, she had all these problems, more problems than I did. So I asked her, what is it that you do that keeps you? And she said, I do this gratitude list. Every day, no matter what, I write down 5 things I'm grateful for. And she challenged me. She said, try it for 2 weeks and see if you feel a little better. And sure enough, it gave me more energy. I started focusing on the good things in life and seeing that. So when I became a teacher, I started that in the classroom. And it kind of became contagious. You know, and I still struggle with it, though, some days. After 15 years, you know, 10 years using it in the classroom, writing a book, you know, I still feel overwhelmed some days. But what I find is gratitude is still a choice. And on those hard days, if I can do a gratitude list or if I can look to someone to tell them how grateful I am for them, it still makes me feel a little better.
Let's talk about those hard days, because it's very easy to be grateful when the skies are clear in life and everything is going great. But can there be a true gratitude mindset when one is suffering and going through severe life problems? And if you could share the story in your book, about Ed and his flat tire.
Yeah, that's a great story. As I was writing this book, my friend Ed said, are you going to include this story? And I hadn't thought of that because he's not a teacher. But Ed related a story. He's in the auto industry, and he travels around the country. He's down in Louisiana on a hot summer day, you know, 100 plus degrees. And he calls me up and he says, my car just broke down. I got a flat tire. The air conditioning is not working. What should I do? And I told him, try a gratitude list. And he hung up and he thought, oh, there's a wasted call. But he went back into the cab of his truck and he said, let me try this. And he said, I've got a job. I've got help on the way. This guy's, in fact, he looked in his rearview mirror, saw the guy was pulling up to fix his flat tire. And he said it really changed his day. And after he got that flat tire fixed and he dried his shirt out and got onto his next appointment, he knew that gratitude could work. You know, so sometimes it's just a matter, even in those situations we think gratitude isn't going to work today. I've had this rough morning with a student, or, you know, I got in a bad traffic jam, whatever it is. But, you know, I really find that gratitude works for me when those things that really challenge me in life, I can be grateful for. That parent that, you know, I'm not seeing eye to eye with, if I can be grateful for them because maybe I can learn something from them about the student. You know, that administrator that's pushing me that, you know, I just can't seem to connect with and seems like they're giving me too much work. You know, what can I learn from this situation? And especially the students. Those students that challenge me, what am I supposed to learn from them? And in the morning when I'm stuck in traffic, I try to just think about my whole class and think about one thing I'm grateful for about each student.
And a lot of people will say, well, and you must have like the ideal class to be have this gratitude mindset. But that wasn't true, especially your first year, right?
No, it wasn't at all. I was kind of thrown in. You know, I'd worked in the business world, and then I did this program where they put you into a school with no student teaching, and I went into seventh grade. You know, we affectionately called them the hormonally challenged kids, those seventh graders who I love to death. But it was really hard. In fact, you know, I was waking up at 3 a.m, not knowing what was going on, not feeling really successful in life, and not successful in my classroom. And, you know, that's when I really tried to apply gratitude. What can I be grateful for here? What can I learn from here? You know, so I saw that really got me through that first year that was so challenging.
How do you deal with challenging coworkers who are always complaining and not sharing that grateful mindset and just energy vampires, as I like to call them, where every year this is the worst group of kids they've ever had and always complaining? You know, teaching can be a very discouraging field, so how do we prevent gratitude fatigue and burnout in a discouraging field like teaching, whether it's those coworkers, that parent, those students? What are some strategies that have worked well for you?
Well, I think people have come to me and asked that, you know, said, I just feel like I have no energy halfway through the school year, three quarters of the way through the school year. What should I do? And we talk about it, and I'll set them up usually with a gratitude partner, or I'll be their gratitude partner, because if you have somebody else who's doing it with you, it helps a lot.
For sure.
And then I'll ask them, you know, do you have an iPhone? Do you want to do a little gratitude list every day? Do you want to send me an email? Are you more a tech person? You know, I sent out a text the other day to 100 friends. I said, tell me something you're grateful for. And it was wonderful, all the responses I got. And that kind of started a chain. And I know I have some friends and colleagues who have Facebook gratitude pages where, you know, they just start to look at the positive things. And it seems if someone starts to make an effort, they're rewarded, and the longer they stay with it. You know, at my school, it was nice. This year, I'm walking down the hallway, and I see these chains that students have written on, and I look at them, and it's a gratitude chain. Another teacher, unbeknownst to me, had started this where students were writing down, thank you for, it was just around Easter break, thank you for Easter break, thank you for the different teachers. And the other teachers saw this, and they linked up to the gratitude chain. So pretty soon, it went down the whole hallway, and all the students in the school were taking part of this gratitude chain. So you never know. Some of the people who had never tried gratitude were able to do it because the whole school would kind of embrace this one activity.
And you're a proponent of writing it down versus verbally just saying it, right?
Yeah, that works for me, but this is interesting. Dr. Froh, who's one of the top researchers, I was asking him, you know, what else should I put in the book? And he said he tried the gratitude list, and it didn't work for him. But what he does is he puts pictures of his family, his wife and his two sons. He puts those in positions that he sees them quite often, like in the mirror when he's shaving in the morning or when he gets in his car or in his office at the university. And he told himself every time he sees that picture, he's going to think of something he's grateful for about his family. So he does this a number of times a day, and he tries to think of new things about them every day. And he says by the time he gets home, he's even more happy to see him.
Awesome. Tell me more about the gratitude journals that worked in your classroom and the effects that you saw from doing those journals. Because a lot of teachers will say, well, I don't have time to do these activities and such like that. How can these busy teachers find the time? And what are some of the effects that you saw from your students when you started implementing these principles?
Well, I start the gratitude journal in the first week of school. So it's coming up now. I'm looking forward to introducing that to a new group of students. And they keep a new composition book. And I tell them, you know, we're going to write down five things we're grateful for each day. I actually allow them, if they just want to write one thing they're grateful for, but take up five lines. Like one student wrote, I'm grateful for pizza because the wheat grew in the field and the sun. And he was able to trace in pizza all the things he was grateful for to the person who worked at the pizza shop who baked it for him. So I tell these students, we're going to do this every day. It really, after you get the students going, only takes about 5 minutes. A good bell ringer activity as kids are, you know, starting to unpack and get their things out. And, you know, I start and I write things I'm grateful for on the board, and I tell them that they can share mine. The real challenge is to think of new things every day because students will repeat the same ones. So what are some new things to be grateful for every day? And then we'll do challenges like, if you're really grateful, gratitude should be an action. And so I'll tell the students, you know, if you're grateful for your parents, do something for them this weekend. Don't get found out. And so then that'll spark, you know, what can we do? And then write down in our gratitude journal things we've done that we're still grateful for.
And what did you see in your classroom as a result?
I saw the students really looking for the positive things in life. Instead of being disappointed they don't have the latest iPhone, they were grateful that they had a family that loved them, that they had a school they were going to, that they had friends. And it seemed like some of the students who didn't have a lot of friends were able to reach out a little more. We make gratitude partners where they write each other letters, they write each other notes. Gratitude spies where they try to see someone who's doing something good and they let them know. So over the years, along with the gratitude journal, I've done these other activities to try to elevate the class culture and connect those students more.
And it seems like that would be easier to do with kids, but, you know, I believe you mentioned this in your book, self-entitled teens seem like they could be the greatest challenge in adopting gratitude. So, Owen, how can our teen students who seem to have this entitled mindset for so many years utilize appreciation successfully without sounding like nagging or back in my day adults? You know, you should be grateful for that because I didn't have a phone when I was your age. What are some successful strategies teachers who work with teens can implement?
Yeah, it's another great question because, you know, teens students a lot of times are resistant to whatever we ask them. And one of the things I tell teachers, if you're going to try to implement, or as families, if you're going to try to implement gratitude, do it yourself first. Try it for a few weeks, because if you can share with your students or your family the things that have challenged you and the benefits, that's one thing to do. But then with the teens, what we found to be most successful is try to let them lead the way. You know, many educators and parents have said this seems like the most entitled, materialistic generation. And one mom came to me and said, gratitude might work well for you, but you haven't met my teenager yet. You know, there's nothing that'll work there. But I talked to this mom, and she tried something where she talked to a teenage daughter and said, you know, gratitude's an action. Can you find some kind of cause, some kind of charity or something that you think would be worthwhile, and as a family we'll do it? And this girl was really into animals. So they found a local animal shelter that they were able to volunteer at. And she saw, as the daughter and the family tried to help out this animal center, the daughter changed a little bit. She did get a little less entitled, a little less materialistic. The gratitude seemed to come in. So I think the key is letting those teenagers kind of lead it as a class. You can do that one class. I love it. The kids said they wanted to do gratitude tattoos. Not the real tattoos, but they wanted to do, first they start with ballpoint pens, and then they wanted to get the Chinese characters for gratitude or whatever their personality really should, and do henna. And so they got the parents' permission. And this class did gratitude tattoos, and the kids proudly wore them around the school. So there's a lot of creativity there.
In your book, you also mentioned students who get older, right, and come back to you and tell you that they still do these gratitude journals, right?
Yeah, I do, and it's been great. You know, with the book coming out, I was able to do a book signing here at the Barnes & Noble in Marietta, and I had over 70 people come buy books.
Fantastic.
And a lot of these students were ones that are in high school and college now, and a few of them want to be teachers to keep the gratitude going, but some of the students say how that still helps them as they go through, you know, the roller coaster ride of the emotions of their teen years. If they can still focus on gratitude, it keeps them grounded.
So tell me about this book, Owen. Gratitude, A Way of Teaching. How did it come to be? Why did you decide to write it, and what was the process that you had to go through?
Well, as I was using gratitude in the classroom, other teachers saw this. And one day my partner teacher said, you know, you should really start a blog. This is something so positive. Teachers are hungry for something that's this positive. So I started a blog. You know, you did the podcast, and then I was able to get something published on Edutopia. On Edutopia, it got 25,000 hits the first week. And that really showed me, you know, how hungry teachers are for something this positive that's been shown to work now. One of the people who hit on the blog was Sarah Juber, who works at Roman and Littlefield, a great publisher, great editor. And she reached out to me and she said, I see a book here. So she helped me. It took almost 2 years to do this. But it was so great because I was able to get deeper into gratitude and reflect on the students, the colleagues, the parents who've helped me, and also connect with these researchers, the researchers who were able to do endorsements for the book. I was able to get to know a lot of them, and I came out of it much more grateful. And, you know, I have a profound gratitude for all the people who helped me along the way.
And I found value in your book not only from my life outside the classroom, but also within my role as a teacher. So I also appreciate how you summarize your main points at the end and offer reflection questions at the end of each chapter. So I think this would be great as far as group studies or group discussions or administrators who want to get the book and do it as something that would actually bring real results to their schools as versus a lot of the stuff that seems they bring and doesn't bring much change. I think it'd be a great book study for administrators to discuss with their staff throughout the year. So who could benefit from reading this book? Because I got the sense it wasn't just for teachers, though.
Yeah, you know, and you make a great point there. This is a book that is being used by a lot of schools to do book studies and administrators. And it's also being used by parents because, you know, working with gratitude and the kids, I've worked a lot with parents. But it's interesting, even business people can use this. You know, I used to work for a company called John Soul's Foods. They make fajitas out of Texas. And a CEO, he saw that I was writing this book, and he required all his salesmen to get a copy of it because his idea is anyone can use gratitude and apply it in their life, and a grateful salesman is going to do better his job and be more satisfied. The interesting one, I just came back from California and did a little mini book tour there, and I did a presentation, and one of the guys who set up the presentation works at a hospice, and he was saying the hospice workers were real interested because one of my chapters is gratitude and loss. I didn't think you know, you could be grateful for a loss. And what I found out is it's not being grateful for the loss. There's, you know, suffering that gratitude can never heal.
Right.
But gratitude can be part of the healing process. So he said he was going to share this with those hospice workers. So I'm finding gratitude being applied in all these different areas that I never thought.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. And teaching is not only seems to be a very discouraging field, but other people are discouraged in their own walks of life, whether it's their role as a parent, mentor, manager, boss, employee, and that sort of thing. Can you share some samples from the book? One story in particular is from a former student, Joe's story. Can you share that with us?
Sure, I'd love to. Joe was one of those students who we kept in touch, and now he just finished his first year in college. And it's great because one of the real joys is seeing as he has applied gratitude and shared it with his friends. He's really focused, and he's just a great kid. He calls me up one day, and he says, "Mr. Griffith, I need to share a story with you." I said, "Sure." He said he was on his way to class over at KSU, and he saw a couple homeless guys. And he'd heard that there's a big storm like we get here in Atlanta, and he wanted to help them. So he had a pickup truck, and he said, "Do you guys want help?" And they said, "Yeah." So he put them in the back of his pickup truck, took them to a church. And the church, turns out, they don't have the resources to help them. These guys said they were really hungry. So he took them to McDonald's, bought them lunch, and found a homeless shelter to take them to and started talking to these guys. And, you know, it turns out one guy had a problem with alcohol. Another guy was looking for his wife who was in a homeless shelter. And he really was able to help these guys and get them to where they could get help. And it was kind of funny as he was leaving, one of the guys said, "Can I have your shoes?" And he said, "No, I'm a poor college student. You can't have my shoes." And Joe was relating the story to me, not to get any accolades. He said, "I don't want you to tell anybody about this, but did I do the right thing?" And I said, "Yeah, that's gratitude in action." And he said, when he saw these guys and he saw how much they were suffering, he remembered how grateful he was and how he could help them. And so I asked him, I said, "You know, I know you don't want any recognition for this, but can I put it in my book?" And he said, "Yeah, if it'll help somebody, you can put it in there."
Nice. Very cool. What's the feedback you've received so far?
The feedback's been really positive. You know, it's interesting. You made the good point of everyone can use gratitude. A lot of people are discouraged. You know, we all feel overwhelmed in different ways. And so being able to interject something positive into their lives is something that a lot of people can use. And as I have students come back, you know, when I was at Barnes & Noble here in Marietta, it was like a moment from Mr. Holland's Opus, you know, in that movie with Richard Dreyfuss where he has all his students come back. And I was thinking, I wish all educators could get this to some degree. And maybe if they use gratitude, they'll get a chance to do that when they have that positive impact on their students.
And you're also speaking now, right?
Yeah, I'm speaking. I was able to give a presentation out in California, and I've given a presentation up at the Canton Library. I've got another one coming up on September 10th up at the R.T. Jones Library in Canton, where we're going to do some fun gratitude activities. I'm going to share some of the book, and it's for educators, parents, and students, and we're going to have kind of an interactive session up there. And I've been formulating some professional development classes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, one of those is with the Georgia ETA here. It's called Knockout Teacher Burnout, and so we're going to take that around to any schools, any principals who think that might help them. It's not just for the teachers who are burnout, but we've seen that every teacher can use a little chance to reignite their passion and to get those kids passionate about learning again.
Yeah, because so many teachers leave within the first 5 years that I feel like this would be something that would be beneficial for that school, is the attitude of gratitude and these principles you share. And another thing I like about the book is this is not just Owen's opinion and why I should believe it, but you have a lot of personal stories from your life, and also the scientific research you include too. And it's a very easy read. You don't use all these big complicated textbook words, and like I said, I appreciate the short chapters and the reflective questions at the end. So my compliments on
the
book.
Thank
you. I found a lot of value in it. Where can we find the book and more information about it?
Yeah, if you go on Amazon.com and put in Owen M. Griffith and gratitude, you can go to my publisher, Roman Littlefield, and you can go on my blog, spirituallyteaching.blogspot.com, and find extra information about it.
Fantastic, and we'll include those links in the show notes. So, what's next for Owen Griffith?
Well, you know, I've been working with Julie Norton, who's a great colleague, a great educator, and a social worker out at the New Teacher Center out in Santa Cruz, California. And we've been relating gratitude to growth mindset. You know, Dr. Carol Dweck out at Stanford has found that when students learn how to be open to other mindsets and to to try when things get hard. We're coupling that with gratitude, and we're putting together some exciting curriculum and some presentations. So that's real exciting, and it's nice. I'm finding, as other people have heard, that I've written a book, they want to start writing. So I'm writing with one of my colleagues there at, where I teach Megan Blassingame, and we have a couple sessions where we want to do a presentation in the fall. So
who knows what will happen the next 2 years for you.
That's
sounds
right.
Like some exciting things in the work. Oh, and what's the best way for people to reach out to you if they want you to speak or maybe have some questions or lead a workshop somehow?
Yeah, send an email to me. My email is my last name, Griffith, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H, and my first initial O at hotmail.com. So GriffithO at hotmail.com. And I love the success stories. I also really appreciate when people are struggling with this. Say, I'm trying this, it's not working with me or my class or my family, and we can work through it. And so it'd be my pleasure to hear those success stories.
For sure. One last bit of advice. I know a lot of teachers, they enjoy their summer break, and to see all these back to school signs and think of going back, they maybe love their job, but maybe they're fighting the negativity of, oh man, another year. Any advice for those teachers who are trying to have that rough transition from summer break to the beginnings of school?
Yeah, I've been going through that too a little bit.
Me
so
too.
I've been thinking about, what do I really enjoy about school? There's a chance, an opportunity here to connect with some new students in a new way and take them on a path. There's colleagues that I haven't seen over the summer, and there's this adventure of the school year. And if I can look at it as adventure, then it's not going to be an ordeal.
Very good. And so any closing remarks that you'd like to share with our audience before we close out the show?
Yeah, you know, I just respect all educators out there, and I really I want to see that, you know, the pendulum education go back to something more positive, and I'm hoping this can help it, and we can all, you know, help form education, reshape in a new way, and reshape our future.
I want to thank my guest, Owen Griffith, for his gratitude mindset to help us improve our classroom culture. I definitely encourage you to pick up his book, Gratitude, A Way of Teaching. And I believe this will help your year be much more productive. And hopefully staying subscribed and listening to our podcast shows will help in that as well. If you'd like to be our guest, or if you have any questions or feedback, feel free to get in touch with me through our voicemail line at 770-322-4160. Your feedback can be used on a future broadcast, or email me at teachersonshow@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next program. Have a great rest of the week.